out the door without putting on the full armor of God.
Armor? Huh?
The enemy comes attacking, and we've got to be ready and prepared. Soldiers, are you ready?
Ready!
Attention! On our heads, we place the helmet of salvation, knowing we're saved today and every day. On our chest, the breastplate of righteousness, knowing we've got you inside us, Lord Jesus. Round our waist, the belt of truth, that we tell the truth all this day and have the truth in us. Our feet fitted with the readiness to spread the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In one hand, we have the sword, which is the word of God, and we thank you for your word, Lord. In the other hand, the shield of faith, with which we can fight off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we're ready to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And out into the day we go. In Jesus' name, all God's soldiers said, Amen. Okay, soldiers, let's march.
The wounds got their armor on.
We've got our armor on.
Peace by peace will put it on.
Peace by peace will put it on.
The wounds got their armor on.
We've got our armor on.
Peace by peace will put it on.
Peace by peace will put it on.
Here we go.
Starting off with a cute little song I like for
the armor of God. So how's everybody doing today? If you can hear me okay, give me an amen so I know the mic is working pretty well. And y'all don't mess with my head though, but at least... All right, I know somebody hears me, so... Anyway, folks, it's Friday evening, and guess what? It's sermon night here on our Zoom client software. Welcome, everybody. We still have one MIA, but I don't blame him because, again, he might be off track because the last 2 weeks I had a bunch of events coming up, and, you know, it couldn't be helped, but it happened. You know, I had some problems with my dad, you know, and I had some problems with the storm, and, you know, the 4th of July weekend, and, I mean, it's just been a crazy schedule for the last couple of weeks, but I hope to get back on track, and, again, we're still going to be going into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 8, and we're still going through the armor of God, and tonight we're going to be talking about the belt of truth. So I'm glad that we're here because I've been looking forward to it because I was telling Brother Toby a little while ago, I was kind of gotten out of the groove, you know, because missing it, you know, I couldn't find my place, you know, just right, and I felt like, man, I'm lost, you know, but quite frankly, I'm not lost because I had the Lord Jesus as my Savior, amen. So, in today's message, if you're like me, my friends, and if you've been paying attention to much of what's going on in this nation, or even in this world, you would think we're in a mess. Wouldn't you agree with that? You would think, you know, with everything that's been going on for us here in the United States, but everything that's been going on in the world, you think we're in a big mess. There are many people who wonder, you know, and I kind of wondered a little bit myself, and a few people I talked to said something like this along the lines. They wonder how in the world we got into this mess. Well, how in the world we got into the mess it's in. But I think you can trace it all back to one place. And believe me, putting this message together, this is what I was pondering on tracing it all back to one place about all this mess that's going on. I think, my friends, it all started the day we begin to reject the truth. Now, if you go back in scriptures, you'll find out when Jesus was on the scene, what did they do? Many of them, anyway, they rejected the truth. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. And the truth was before them. They saw it. They knew it. They recognized it. Jesus made no beef about what he was or who he was. And many will still argue what a lot of us Christians today claim, well, Jesus never did claim he was God. Well, yes, he did, my friends. Yes, he did. You study scriptures very carefully when he made statements like, I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the resurrection. You know, when he was referring to I am, he was referring to God himself. And those people knew it. And even when he says, you know, I and the Father are one, those people knew it. And even today, people know it. But they reject the truth. And because they've been rejecting the truth since then, and even now, more now than ever, this is why this world, this nation, is in such a mess as it is. If you've been paying attention to a lot of the political side of it, and world events and all that, folks, I mean, those folks need Jesus. But see, I can remember, friends, you know, and this is, I was kind of researching this, talking to some people a little bit more seasoned than me. I'm not going to say older because, again, I don't like to use the word older, but I call them seasoned. But I remember, you know, when I was smaller and I was talking to a lot of other folks, you know, there was once a day when we divided ideas into two categories, true and false. If something was true, it was true for all people, in all places, at all times. If it was false, the same conditions applied. Any discussion or arguments forced you to accept what's true and reject what's false. But slowly, and if you've been paying attention to history, but slowly we have rejected the idea of truth. Today, people don't talk so much about true and false. They talk about what works, or what's true for you and what's true for me, as if truth were a preference, like choosing your favorite type of ice cream. Doubt and uncertainty are virtues, and anybody who claims, and pay close attention to this, because I just ran into this, anybody who claims to possess truth is labeled intolerant or a bigot. Let me repeat that, folks, and I know you can relate to this. Anybody who claims to possess the truth is labeled intolerant or a bigot. But in reality, my friends, God is telling us we are in a spiritual war. We're facing the schemes of the devil, and our earthly struggles are not against flesh and blood, the things of the earth. It's not against those. You and I, my friends, we are wrestling against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Folks, that will wake you up. That should wake you up. So if you got your Bibles, Lisa just posted the scriptures for you. We're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, starting with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10 through 18. And verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather together to hear these words that you put on my heart. And I know I've been a little behind with, I don't know what you want to call it, distractions, but things been coming up, and I'm sorry for that. But Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather together today, here at this very moment, using this technology. Father, again, I don't know what it is, but there's some folks out there that just seem like they're so afraid of technology, they call it the works of the devil or using the devil's tools, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't understand why they act that way. As my wife even says, I don't get it why people act the way they do during church, or the people that claim to be part of church, and yet we're supposed to be loving each other. We're not supposed to get so riled up against each other. We're not supposed to get so offended at each other by just a few statements or comments made, but yet people do. And apparently they're not listening to the word of God. Apparently they're not putting on the armor of God. Apparently they're not practicing what Jesus told us to preach, to show forgiveness and kindness and mercy. I don't know what's wrong with those people. I don't know what's wrong with people not doing that, God. I just don't know. I don't get it. I can't understand it. They're calling themselves followers of Christ, but they still keep acting like the world, and they even turn on their own people within inside of the church. I don't know. I just don't know no more, God. It just seems like to me it's just people don't care. They don't want to try to save you. Look, I'm not perfect, not by a long shot. I make mistakes. I made a lot of them. And I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to do things the right way. So all I can do is ask of you to bless us here tonight. Give us strength, courage, and wisdom to fight against the principalities of this world. The enemy is trying so hard to tear us apart. And we need your wisdom. We need your guidance. We need your courage. We need strengthening. We need you every moment of our lives. Father, be with us. Help us. Help us with this armor and keep this armor beefed up and purified so that way we can withstand those attacks. I'm telling you, God, it's getting rough. You know it because you are in control. Some people don't agree with that. Some people claim that God is not in control of all things. But I'm sorry, but I do believe you are in control. Father, thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Let me get me a sip real quick. Well, y'all saw the title. It's called The Belt of Truth. We've been covering the armor of God. When we get through to tonight, we got one more piece, the shoes. Now, I haven't figured out which direction I'm going to go yet on the shoes, so just bear with me. But tonight, we are going to be talking about the belt of truth. And the good news here, and I want y'all to pay real attention to this, the good news here that God has not left us alone, but has given us armor to protect us and to help us in our fight so that we might stand firm against the piece of armor we see first to aid us in this all-important fight against the evil one. And that piece of armor is, folks, believe it or not, a belt. That piece of armor to help us fight, to stand firm, to see first that it gives us all important aid to help us fight against the evil one, is just a belt. So you think about it, okay, Jim, then a belt, what gives? I kind of find that strange, you know, when you're saying a belt is a piece of an armor, but it is. Well, I thought about that, and mainly in my humble opinion, and this is my humble opinion, please do not become offended. You know, say, I don't agree with what you just said, Jim. I don't like it, you know, or I'm not going to listen to you no more. Well, please don't. This is just my humble opinion. We all have them. But my humble opinion is a big reason why our world is in such a mess. And it's not accidental. It just didn't happen. You see, the war with truth didn't begin in the 20th century. Oh, no, it didn't just start it. Folks, it began in the heart of Satan. That's where it started. See, John chapter 8, verse 44 says this. Notice the wording here. And this is John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and a father of it. Folks, look. See, some folks kind of say, well, man, you know, Jim, you're brutal. You're hard. Well, folks, if I'm brutal and I'm hard, apparently I'm doing something right, because look what Jesus himself said right there. He was brutal. He was hard. He was calling things out for what it was. And he even told people then, you know, there's the evil one, there's the devil. See, when he speaks a lie, he's speaking from his own resources, and he's a liar and false. So he called them out on it, but yet anyone who associated themselves with the devil, he called them out too. Jesus was not afraid to mince words. You see, folks, you have to look at that, because deceit and lies, and this is again my opinion, deceit and lies are two of the devil's most important and powerful weapons. Most of our problems and defeats in our lives have not been just because we're weak or we're ignorant, but because we believe a lie instead of believing the truth. Because we chose to lie instead of telling the truth. Now, how many times have we, and I've been thinking about this lately, you know, I'm guilty of it. I told a few little white lies when I knew I shouldn't. I did. But if we start bearing down and said, you know what, I got to stop all this nonsense. I got to stop all this craziness. I got to stop trying to hate someone. I got to try to stop being, man, I got to stop being offended by whatever someone may say. And said, you know what, I don't care. That's your right. You can say what you want. I love you. I need to start believing the truth. I need to understand the truth. I need to be part of that truth. But the problem is, many choose a lie instead of telling the truth. You see, folks, this is why it's also the reason truth is one of the most important pieces of the armor of God. It is. And tonight, we're going to talk about this first line of defense we need to stand against the devil, the belt of truth, which is described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, the verse that was just posted. So we have to understand that, my friends, is your first line of defense, the belt of truth. So to kind of set the motion, and you start to think, okay, well, I'm kind of understanding a little bit what you're saying, so where we're going. So, okay, well, what does the belt of truth mean? Well, almost everyone in those days, someone wore, and if you think about it and you look at history, someone wore some sort of long sheet or what I call a light robe, typically as a heat-defeating undergarment, quite similar to what you see in some of the Middle Eastern countries today. But if you were a soldier, this arrangement, my friends, would present a problem. A long robe would make it very difficult to move quickly. Most times you'll trip over your robe or make you easily grabbed by your enemy. They can grab that garment if it's hanging down real low. They can grab you and pull you down to the ground or trip you up. So what the soldiers would do at that time is take a belt to fasten all the excess fabric more tightly to their body. That's why some translations of Ephesians 6:14 will say something like, gird up your loins with truth. What this belt did was free the soldiers' legs up to help them be ready for the fight, help them be ready for the action. And most scholars believe that this was the first thing a soldier would do in putting on his armor, was to fasten their belt. For with their robe, their undergarments fastened into one place by the belt, they could now put on all the other pieces of the armor. Okay? So, that's what the belt means. But what about truth? What about truth? Truth is being referred to in the belt of truth. What is it being referred to? What is it? And I had to think about this. I mean, I had to do a little bit of reading to dig some of this up. And I'm thinking, what is the truth in this belt? Well, to me, the belt of truth comes from answers found in a few chapters earlier in Ephesians. If you read the whole book of Ephesians, I mean all chapters, but the answer is found in a few chapters earlier in Ephesians, especially chapter 4, verse 21. Pay attention to what it says there. It says, assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus, friends. Truth flows from Jesus, the King of the universe, and God himself. As the second person of the Trinity, he created all things. So any truth finds its roots, its source in Jesus Christ. This is established, and well, basically, this was established by the prophet Isaiah himself. The apostle Paul is not just drawing on Roman armor, but what he is doing, he's drawing it on Christ as the fulfillment of the prophecy of the divine warrior who came to rescue God's people. Look, folks, listen to key parts. I'm not going to read all of them, but just listen to key parts of Isaiah chapter 59, verses 14 through 17. I just kind of highlighted the key parts of these verses, but listen to them. Truth has stumbled in the public squares, and of righteousness cannot enter. Truth is lacking. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him. Then his own arm brought him salvation. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. See, truth has stumbled into the public squares. Truth was lacking. But the Lord's answer was the Messiah. That was his answer. His answer was Jesus. So the truth in the belt of truth, my friends, think about it. The truth in the belt of truth is Christ himself. Now that we understand what the belt means, we understand that the truth here refers to Christ himself and all truth he embodies. So what else does the belt do for us when you and I put it on? What else does it do? Well, again, the belt does several things for us when using our spiritual armor. And they are, the first thing that it does, the belt of truth holds everything together. The belt of truth holds everything together. See, the Roman soldier's belt, if you look at it, and I kind of looked it up a little bit, and there is some discrepancies, but mainly they kind of all were consistent with this. The Roman soldier belt was about a 6-inch wide strip of leather that holds the breastplate in place and provides a sheath for the sword. It holds basically everything together. In much the same way, truth holds everything together for us in two basic ways. Truth holds everything together for us in two basic ways. First, it holds together who you are to be and who you are. The word we use as integrity, or mainly as wholeness, a person who wears the belt of truth basically is an honest person who doesn't pretend to be one thing while being another. They are not sinless, okay? They're not. But they are blameless, consistent, faithful, and truthful. Second, and I love this one, it holds your soul together with the truth of scriptures. Wearing the belt of truth is not just being honest, but knowing and believing the truth of the word of God. God's word is standard by which all truth is measured. Scriptures tells us that knowing the truth means knowing Christ as the source of truth from which all other truth flows. Nice. The second thing that the belt of truth does is strengthens your backbone. Now, if you ever been around somebody that does a lot of heavy lifting, and I can relate to this because in my younger days, you know, if you've seen some younger pictures of me, boy, I was a handsome fella. Man, I was built like you know what. I had muscles ripping everywhere, but now all the muscles that was tight and, man, busting out seemed like gravity took over and it kind of just went down. But again, you know, I'm trying to use this as a reference because, again, you know, I was a weightlifter. And I mean, I was vigilant at it. I did it all the time. And I mean, I was cut. I was ripped. But all the times, if you notice those weightlifters, we were wearing those wide belts. And what they did, they strengthened the person's back to prevent injuries. If you didn't have one of those belts on, and like me, and I ain't bragging, but back in my younger days, I used to deadlift 525 easy. But if I'd done it without a back, you can forget about it, my back would go out. I had to have something to support that backbone. So much of a soldier's or a Roman soldier's belt, it served much as the same purpose. It not only held everything together, it reinforced his backbone, helping him stand not only taller, but stronger against the attacks of the enemy. The belt of truth gives you courage to stand against the attacks of the devil. That's what it does. Truth emboldens you with the courage of a clean conscience. Liars, basically, are nothing more than cowards. I recently, you know, thought about this with some church people. And they may become offended if they ever listen to this message, but I don't care. But when a lot of them are claiming to be in truth, but yet they run behind your back to other people and bellyache and complain, they're not being truthful. They're not being straight up. To me, they're nothing more than liars and cowards. We should be able to be truthful with each other without each other becoming offended at each other. And if we can't, you know, learn to trust each other in truth without becoming offended, if we can't learn to listen to what someone else might say without becoming offended, then we're not dealing with truth ourselves. And what's happening to a lot of these people, they're always afraid of being found out. They're always afraid that the truth will come back to haunt them. And always afraid that the truth would end up hurting them. Now, a lot of times, they may go run and talk to someone else about you or whatever and all that stuff. But, you know, they think, well, okay, I'm just talking to this person. He's going to keep it in confidentiality. So you're never going to find out. But yet, you know, a lot of times I do find out. I don't hold it against them. But you know what? That truth will haunt them one day. But when you, my friends, wear the belt of truth, see, you are bold because there is no kink in your armor. No fear of being found out. That's why I always used to tell everybody, man, look, just tell the truth. How many times that you could be out of trouble if you were just to say the truth? How many times have we seen politicians, if they were just there, stood in front of those cameras and said, yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir, I did hit that little juju weed. Yes, sir, I did do this. Yes, sir, I did. And that would shut them down in a heartbeat. Tell the truth. When you tell the truth, there's nowhere to go. But when you lie and not tell the truth, you're going to be found out. Because when you start lying, guess what? You got to come up with another lie. And then guess what? You got to come up with another lie to cover that lie to cover the first lie. And guess what? You got to come up with another lie to cover that lie and another lie to cover the first lie. And before you know it, you can't remember what the first lie was, and your story's always different. Folks, you have confidence that comes with integrity. That as long as you tell the truth and live the truth, you, my friends, have nothing to fear. Also, truth emboldens you with the courage of certainty. See, when you know the truth, you have something to believe in, something that defeats your doubts, conquers your fear, something worth living for and dying for, something that stands the test and trials of times, an anchor that helps you stand strong no matter how everything else crumbles around you. The only truth we can be absolutely certain about is the truth of God's Word. This is courage born into the certainty of our faith in God and His words. The courage that fills the heart of Moses standing before Pharaoh. The courage that fills the heart of David running towards Goliath. The courage that strengthens our Lord as He's praying in the garden and hangs on to the cross. Wearing the belt of truth means, my friends, having a backbone. Knowing and living the truth, being certain of the truth in God's word, makes you bold as a lion, brave enough to stand against the lies of the devil himself. The belt of truth holds everything together, strengthens your backbone, and finally, the third thing, the belt of truth does is prepares you for action. It prepares you for action. And as I said a little while ago, the Roman soldier didn't wear pants. You didn't see him wearing pants in those days. They wore a kind of leather skirt that kind of hung a little lower than their knees. And when they were off duty, this skirt hung down. But when they went into action, they girded up the skirt by pulling it up between their legs and stuffing it into the belt. You see, friends, this is what the King James Version called girding your loins, meaning preparing for action. The belt of truth is just not about what we think and believe. It spurs us into actions. And that involves two very important areas. The first one is, it's called application. Before you go into action, you have to be sure of what you're doing. Before you go into action, be sure that you know what you're doing. We all know the story in the Old Testament. The kings, before they went to war, they had to count it at all costs. They had to really sit there and said, do I have what it takes to go into a war? Because if they didn't, and they sprung into action, they weren't prepared, guess what? They were defeated. See, what I'm trying to say here, it is much wiser to think through what you need to do instead of going into acting without thinking. Or in other words, how many of us, if we would just step back and thought about what we was going to do or thought about what we was going to say to somebody before just shooting off our mouth, we could have got ourselves out of a lot of trouble. I hate to say it sometimes, but we all have what I call the Peter syndrome. We love to shoot off our mouth without first thinking about the action or the consequences. Step back. step back before you go into action and be sure that you know what you are doing. Think about what you're going to do before acting without thinking. The reason why I say this, pay attention to what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I love how it says this. It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, it's right there. It's right there. The other important area is, which is the second one, which I just mentioned, action. Kind of sound like a director's hollering, action! You see, the truth, my friends, always, always calls for action. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this. You can't misinterpret it. I'm sorry. It's plain as day. Plain as day. But James chapter 1, verse 22 says this. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The truth of God, my friends, is put in action through thoughtful, humble obedience. Thoughtful, humble obedience. Truth that's never put into action doesn't do much good. It tends to feed your pride, to make you smug, and also to make you self-righteous. Oh, Jim, I just stepped on some toes by making that comment, huh? Well, folks, that's the truth. Truth that's never put into action does those things to you. But the only way you and I stand against the lies of the devil is by doing something with the truth God reveals to us. Standing against the devil requires not only believing the truth, but practicing the truth. Living your whole light of the truth. Folks, start putting that into action. Start believing in the truth. Start practicing the truth. Start living your whole light of the truth. And I know at times when you do so and you start to do so, you start off good and we stumble. But the problem is, folks, we have to offer up a sacrifice to start doing exactly that. Because you cannot stand still and stand against the devil. No, you can't. You must wear the belt of truth by applying it and acting on it. And if you don't accurately apply the truth, you'll end up a pawn of the devil in the name of God. Oh, man, you're throwing out there, ain't you, Brother Jim? Sorry, folks. Y'all heard the expression, the truth hurts, doesn't it? Well, the reason why I'm saying, folks, if not, you will confuse the truth with your own prejudice and preference and too stubborn to admit that you might just be wrong. You might argue about things on which the Bible says nothing. Or you might speak up for yourselves more than they speak up for the truth. You know why I'm saying this? I know. Because I've been guilty of this myself. And because of it, I suffered. I suffered. Being humble, having thoughtful obedience, will protect you from being defeated by the devil. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. When we put on this whole armor of God, and when we put on the belt of truth, each of us needs to be asking ourselves these questions, and I did so. I kind of almost made it into a little checklist, but each of us, when we're putting on the whole armor of God, and especially the belt of truth, we need to be asking these questions. Who or what has the final say in my life? When it comes to decisions I'm making, how I navigate relationships, how I parent, how I work, how I worship and believe. Is it my feelings in the final assessment? Do I simply do whatever I want to do? Is it a person in my final assessment? Do I simply do whatever my boss or my friends or my spouse wants me to do? Is it my culture in my final assessment? Do I simply do whatever accords with the way our world seems to work and think today? Or in other words, do I just go with the flow? Do I? And worst of all, Lisa kind of beat me to it. Is it comfort? Is it? In my final assessment of me? Do I simply do whatever's the easiest? And because it causes me the least amount of trouble? Or it doesn't bother my conscience? Do I? You think about those things. You think about it. Serving Jesus is not easy. Serving Jesus is not easy. And by the time you need to start bearing down on the truth, we need to make some changes within our lives. Because, you know, like my wife says, why do people within the church body acts the way they act? But yet they still turn on each other. They get mad. They get bent out of shape from a few comments. Sometimes when we're just having, you know, political or philosophical discussions, man, they get so bent out of shape. My goodness. What's wrong? We're just talking a little truth. You don't need to get offended by what I say. Hey, I used to be like that myself too. When somebody used to say something in a Sunday school class or a worship service or a discipleship class, and I sometimes would get mad. But I found out a couple of years ago I had to stop acting like that and not be afraid. Look, let us fellowship together, but let us not become offended at one another. And if we are, if we're getting mad, we run to the pastor. I don't like what so-and-so said. So-and-so said that. So-and-so made me mad. So-and-so did that. Oh, you need to do something about him. Well, wait a minute. You know what? You're not living the truth because the truth is not in you. You should be like a duck and just let it roll off. Okay, you know what? I might not agree with what he said, but you know what? I'm not going to become offended about it because we're just here to have a discussion. Let's love each other like we're supposed to. See, if I could write what the belt of truth is in one sentence, and you think about it tonight, you do it tonight or you could do it tomorrow, however you want to do it, but you just put into your mind, if you can write what the belt of truth is in one sentence, what would it be? See me, it would be this. To fasten on the belt of truth is to give Christ the final say in my life. That's verse 14. You take a look at verse 14 in chapter 6 of Ephesians. That's how I would write it. to give Christ the final say in my life. Friends, does Christ have the final say in your life? Does he? I'm not asking you to let me know or not. That's up to you. That's between you and him. But if he doesn't have the final say 100%, I suggest you examine yourself. Is he the ultimate truth in your life? Is he the light by which you see truth and determine what truth is in your world, in your life, in your circumstances? Is he? So how exactly do we make Christ the final say in our lives? How do we do that? Simple. You must choose your side. And choose correctly. Now, I'm referring to back in my old sinful days, the Matrix. You got the red pill and you got the blue pill. Which one are you going to choose? You can choose truth in Christ or your truth. You see, you can let the devil deceive you and defeat you. You can swallow his lies like a fish swallows the bait on the hook. But in the end, if you do, you will die. Or you can do this. You can stand against the devil by wearing the belt of truth. The belt that holds everything together. That strengthens your backbone. That spurs you into action. Because if you don't, the lies of Satan and this world and your heart will, and I guarantee it, will put you into chains and make you a slave of it. And I'm going to leave you with this truth. Jesus promised. His promise is still just as true today, right now, this very moment when he first spoke this in John chapter 8, verse 32. It still applies this day. See it? Do you see it? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So, are you wearing the belt of truth today? And are you using it the correct way? If not, then why not? Think about it. Think about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for allowing me to stand here before these kind folks here tonight. I'm not perfect, not by a long shot. I have made mistakes, and I keep on making mistakes, and I'm not perfect. Sometimes I try to be too perfect. Sometimes I try to be pleasing to people without trying to cause offense, but it just seems like no matter what I do or how I do it, it just seems to happen. I'm not trying to push, you know, my truth against other people. And I'm not trying to do nothing wrong. I'm just trying to stand upon truth and just trying to follow you and do what you want me to do. But sometimes it just seems other people just don't care to try to work together in truth, in harmony, in peace. They seem like all they want to do is bicker and fight and have their own personal agenda or do their own little control thing or want to minister, you know, in their different ways, or want to control how a church should function, or this or that. You know, they're just not operating the truth, because the truth in Christ is we should just humble ourselves and work together and see past our differences. But people are not willing to listen to the real truth. They want to twist that truth a little bit. They want to put in a little bit of lies. They want to change the circumstances of it. As I stand before you a lot in the last several days I've always been asking the question, Lord, I don't know what to do no more. I don't know what to say no more. I don't even know how to hardly pray anymore. It hurts sometimes, you know, whenever people do what they do. But I can't hold it against nobody. And I don't know why they hold things, you know, whenever we kind of speak the truth. We're not trying to do it in a hateful way. We just kind of do it in a non-assumptive way, but yet somehow or another, it causes offense. I know standing up for the truth is a hard thing to do. We fight this struggle every day. The enemy's trying to wear us down and say, oh, go ahead, tell a little lie. Go ahead, bend the truth. Go ahead, you don't have to really say it that way. Go ahead and just kind of beat around the bush with them, pacify them, make them feel like, oh, you're okay, there's nothing wrong with you. No, you should tell them in a more general way, look, there's some problems with you just as much as it is with me, so quit pointing your finger at me and start pointing it back at yourself. Start living the truth the righteous way. And quit being so dogmatic and offended by what other people say. Live for Christ. Start showing real love. We need that today. More than ever. Truth is getting twisted today, is it? It's horrible. And yet Christians are sometimes afraid to stand up on truth. They just rather get all bent out of shape about it. So I don't know. This message did speak to me, Lord. I'm glad you showed me what I had to do and you gave me some time in the last several weeks to think about this. I still got to work on truth. But sometimes, you know, I want to say things about people. I've been biting my lip big time. And I just got to shut it down. So I ask you to strengthen us here tonight, all of us. Teach us to live the righteous way, the correct way. I know this thing is a little longer than anticipated. I'm sorry for that. But I can't help it how the Spirit leads me into these things, but it just does. So I ask you to strengthen us. And when we put on this armor each and every day that we pray to you, give us the wisdom, the courage, and the understanding to be walking in truth. Let us be real light bearers to the world. And let us speak truth and love. Father, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.